This is The Immigration Conversation, presented by Fragomen, a series of talks and discussions by leading immigration lawyers and professionals from around the world. We'll bring you the most up-to-date business immigration news, issues of concern, and strategies in the world of global immigration and mobility.
Hello, and welcome to Fragomen's Immigration Conversation. This is Christine Sullivan, and I'm in Amsterdam. We are going to be talking all things elections and politics today. This is definitely going to be a theme, not just here in the Netherlands, not in Europe, but globally this year, as we have a year of unprecedented elections taking place. I think the number is over 50 elections to take place in 2024. However, today we are talking about an election that happened in 2023 that hasn't actually had its concluded results. We'll talk about that a little bit more in our conversation. But first, let me give the word to Soraya Driessen, who joins me today.
Hey there. My name is Soraya. I'm joining from Brussels. I'm a client engagement manager at Fragomen in wherever.
And a political science background. So Soraya and I will talk this through, but you know, if it sounds like we're rushing through, we have this conversation in our chat box pretty regularly. And this has been what we've been talking a lot about in the last 6 months, right, Soraya?
Yes. So it's actually good to know that the Netherlands has the worst track record in history when it comes to government formation. Last time it took 9 months, and the time before, I think it was 7. So they're not really great at this entire process. I think it's important to know we had the Rutte government fall in July last year, then the elections in November, and going into the elections, immigration was really a hot topic in the debates, and then the outcome of the elections with Wilders and his PVV party being the big winner was a surprise to many, both businesses and, you know, international employees in the Netherlands. Even before the elections, there were a lot of parties who immediately said they wouldn't rule with PVV. And then just 2 weeks ago, Wilders actually announced that he wouldn't be going for the prime minister seat. He said it was unconstitutional and unfair, but he would forego it in you know, for the good of the country. And the Netherlands is now exploring the option of a program cabinet, which is a cabinet where the party leaders will remain in parliament. They'll decide on a prime minister together, and then they'll fill the remaining cabinet seats with people from their parties, from other parties, but also non-politicians who are experts in their field. So it's going to be interesting to see what comes out of that. It also means that the coalition agreement they'll come up with isn't going to be the classic Dutch coalition agreement. It's going to be just an agreement on main lines and not super detailed or in depth.
And to go back, I mean, you mentioned some of the migration issues which caused the Rutte government to fall in the first place and to trigger this election, and then unfortunately underscored the decision-making and the voting, because the anti-migration rhetoric in the Netherlands has been loud and very emotionally charged, and there were some frankly frightening proposals that were put forward. I think where we've landed now is that some of those quite far right sentiments have been tempered by the fact that there is this coalition government, but business has been concerned about the amount of migration discussion that's been fueling both the fall of the government, the elections, and now the formation of the government. We've been hearing a lot in the news about concerns surrounding not just migration, but some of the other topics that are important to the business community and bringing talent into the Netherlands.
Right. I think the biggest one will probably be the 30% ruling and the discourse around that. So the 30% ruling is an expat tax benefits for highly skilled migrants in the Netherlands. And just last year, the outgoing government made a decision to roll back that that benefit significantly. So instead of 5 years of, you know, granting a tax-free allowance of up to 30% of someone's salary, it's now, I think it's 1 year at the full benefit, and then each year it gets scaled back more. And so obviously this is hugely important to employers who really count on that benefit to be able to attract and retain their international talents. And then when you look at the business community in the Netherlands, where so many companies are hiring these highly skilled migrants, it's not difficult to see how that would be concerning.
Yeah, and I think it's pretty unprecedented what we've seen, which is public comment in the newspaper, on the news, and even the CEO of ASML here in the Netherlands, going to the news and specifically saying, if the government forms and if the government continues to move forward with some of these anti-talent focused initiatives, ASML would be forced to change its location. This is pretty powerful, considering we're talking about one of the 20 most valuable companies in the world, and a massive employer and source of revenue here in the Netherlands, and also just an important company to the heritage of the business community in the Netherlands. And for the CEO to be so open with comments and to say, if these changes go through, we would be forced to move. And then a number of other big companies coming up and saying exactly the same. It's really been a hot topic in the news lately. And for us who work in the business of moving talent into the Netherlands, unusual to see our mainstream business being front page news.
Absolutely. And I think that brings us nicely to what happened just last week, which is the outcome of Project Beethoven, which has been a name that's been popping up a couple of weeks now, where the government has confirmed they're going to be investing 2.5 billion euros in the Antwerp Brainport region as a strategy to keep ASML here in the Netherlands. So that's 2.5 billion euros investment in education projects, because you know the Netherlands has really been struggling with students in these really high-tech educations, and the education not matching what companies are actually looking for. They're also going to be investing in infrastructure, in roads, bus, train networks, housing projects, another hot topic in the Netherlands that was raised frequently with the elections. So let's see what that does. But ASML was definitely successful in advocating for their needs and the region's needs.
This is interesting because one of the responses in the news and in the Netherlands, I think it was the director of the Nederlandse Bank, who said, actually, the issue isn't the foreign nationals who are coming to the Netherlands, it's an infrastructure issue. So obviously, if we don't have enough houses, if the infrastructure itself isn't keeping up, then it's easy to look around and to look at the people who are causing the concern, but it is actually a Dutch infrastructure issue. So it's interesting to me that the response of the government through Project Beethoven, some of it is targeted specifically at the policy that was pointed out, but a lot of it is based on making sure that the infrastructure is there for Dutch nationals and foreign nationals alike, because if you don't have enough houses, of course you look around and you try to see what is the source of this. And unfortunately, when it's being tagged to foreign nationals, I'm going to now pivot to the last vote that Parliament did before the Christmas vacation, which was the vote that limited the 30% ruling, where it was said that the funds would be used to support Dutch students. And so a lot of politicians now, after having ASML say, whoa, wait a minute, this is a huge impact to our ability to do business here, they're saying, oh yeah, we didn't really have enough time to debate this. We didn't really look into it. We want to support students, but obviously we don't want to undermine the business community. So it goes to show where those sort of infrastructure related issues that we experience in a small country with a growing population are in the news being tagged to foreign nationals or an influx of talent, where in fact it's been said since that three intern jobs or three jobs are made for every foreign national working at ASML. Am I saying that right, Soraya?
So the Netherlands is really struggling with filling up all of the highly skilled positions that they currently have open. And if no steps are taken, it's going to be really hard to maintain that leadership position that we have when it comes to tech and innovation. it's going to lead to companies, you know, no longer wanting to invest or establish themselves in the Netherlands. And in the end, all of the decisions that are being made to limit the influx of international talent is going to impact that Dutch labor market they're saying they're trying to protect. So, and I think taking a step back and looking at the rest of Europe, where we see countries actually implementing these facilitations for highly skilled talent, they're implementing initiatives similar to the 30% ruling. To have the Netherlands taking steps back is just not the most strategic decision. So let's see what they do when they're reviewing this 30% ruling adjustments.
And this is a great point you bring up, is the fact that for as long as I've been doing Dutch immigration, as long as I've been working with Fragmen, we have been working closely with the European Commission to share with them the information of how we see Dutch policy and Dutch practice in the immigration sphere work, because it really is considered a best practice for striking the right balance between stimulating the economy, growing jobs, growing the local economy, which is important, you know, to Dutch nationals, EU nationals, and foreign nationals alike, while also being able to have the compliance oversight that is both in the labor department and in the immigration department. So a lot of these processes have been looked at the European level and considered as a best practice, which is why I think we're quite surprised to now be having this amount of scrutiny and public discourse about the immigration practices being off. It's probably important to say to anyone listening to the podcast that while there has been a vote and a change proposed to the 30% ruling and the tax facility, that the immigration legislation and the practices in the way that the immigration department, the IND, enforce it, have not actually been up for discussion, haven't been changed, and we don't see any proposals right now. Am I being accurate when I say that, Soraya?
100%. I think when we're seeing immigration in the news and when we're seeing these big announcements by the politicians, usually what they're targeting is asylum and family reunification that way. We haven't seen any major announcements on the corporate or the business immigration side. And the Dutch system, let's be honest, just works so well that I don't expect any significant changes to the highly skilled migrant, to the recognized sponsorship scheme. We expect business to continue as usual there.
Yeah, and it's really looking at the edges. I mean, there is misuse. There have been some studies and some reports that have come out about misuse. And we see a lot of activity by the immigration department in compliance, which I think will probably be a focus of a future podcast segment. We definitely don't want to go in compliance here. But what we do see is we see that the policy itself is sound, and the policy itself doesn't appear to be currently up for negotiation or change. However, reinforcement, compliance of the rules is definitely being looked at. And the 30% ruling is the hot topic. But business has their opportunity to have a say right now, don't they, Soraya? We've seen an actual open door for business to come in and to say what they think about the changes.
Yes. So the Ministry of Finance has requested a survey. So they're polling international employers, they're polling the international employees who really get a chance to share their opinion, their feedback, and their experience with the 30% ruling, also with the extraterritorial cost facility. You can find that online. We're happy to share them with you. And we really encourage everyone, not just our clients, but the entire business community, to come out and make use of the survey. I think results are expected by end of April. And we'll, of course, share those out as we also receive them. But this is really the time for everyone who wants to have a say in the future of a 30% ruling to come out.
Okay. So I'd say the survey is open until the 14th of April. We'll wrap up this first edition of our Elections and Migration Watch in the Netherlands podcast series. And then we will make the promise to return and to talk about what the outcome of what that survey was. And then we definitely have to have a conversation on compliance, because in this atmosphere of high scrutiny on migration, all companies need to make sure that they are on the right side of the compliance rules. So those would be some future conversations.
Looking forward.
Yeah, great to talk to you, Soraya. Look forward to the next one.
Thank you so much.
The Immigration Conversation podcast is presented by Fragment, the leading firm dedicated exclusively to immigration services worldwide. This episode is current as of the date of recording. With frequent changes in global immigration, be sure to keep up to date by visiting our website at www.fragaman.com and subscribing to the Immigration Conversation on your favorite podcast service to hear the latest episode. This podcast is for informational purposes only. This podcast does not constitute legal advice or give rise to an attorney-client relationship between any listener and our firm. If you have any questions, please contact the global immigration professional with whom you work at Fragaman.